Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
He just formed a fucking wall.
O'Neal deep in the post. Lots of contact there. Oh, what a block by Wallace. What a jump ball.
Hastings down four, 12-8, 7-38 to play in the first half. Burst from Rodney, stuck into the rim. Tapped out, baby, and a foul. Reggie inside for Andre, and a dynamite dunk.
Ladies and gentlemen, hello and welcome to the latest edition here of the Palace of Pistons podcast. Brendan Johnson and Aaron Johnson are with you today. We have a special guest on the podcast as well, as we're still amidst the national shutdown, the stay-at-home order, if you will, here in the state of Michigan. But our special guest here today, a former strength and conditioning coach on the staff of the Detroit Pistons under head strength coach Arne Kander, and currently the head physical preparation coach and assistant men's basketball coach at Madonna University in Livonia, Michigan. That is Larry Sanders. Larry, thanks so much for taking some time to join us today. How are you doing?
Good. No, thanks for having me.
So, Larry, you know, obviously gave a brief introduction there of what you're currently doing and mentioned your work with the Pistons staff in the past, but how about you just give our listeners a little bit of a bio on what you do and a little bit about your career?
So basically, started really kind of paying attention to basketball, kind of to an obsession kind of point when I was pretty young, and I was kind of behind, a pretty like athlete more than a player skill-wise. So just in the process of, you know, trying to catch up, which I felt like I did, and then trying to make it to the next level, kind of lit a fire that, you know, paid off in a lot of different ways than I thought. So while I was trying to be a player, really was working on, you know, recording, studying tape, and reading everything I could about kind of movement and the movement that kind of recreated, you know, good basketball players and, you know, why certain players were good at this and good at that. So once I figured that out, where I wasn't going to be the player, I was kind of put here to help the people, actually be players and help them grow. I mean, it was kind of a natural transition, especially with basketball, and started working with baseball, and, you know, I always been, you know, anything I could get my hands on, I was ready to play kind of sports and athletic wise. So, you know, that led me into actually got the job, once I got out of school, I was a personal trainer, but sports was really, really my thing, and started working with Madonna University about 2006, and that led to Impact Basketball, which actually turned out to be a really good time with Joel Bunasar, who also had a connection with Madonna's old coach, Coach Holowicki, kind of the legend there. They had the Lockout League. I got to go there and learn from their strength guys. And his connection with the Pistons and Chauncey Billups and Tayshaun and all those kind of guys kind of led me kind of some time with their head strength guys, Arne Kander, and then kind of let go of the staff and, you know, called me to see if I would be interested in doing an internship toward being his assistant. You know, I don't know, this career kind of takes you all over the place. You just kind of be ready to wait for a phone call. Then after that, you know, went to Spain, worked with Mike Barwis over at his performance center, another high-level strength coach. Was over there working with paralysis patients. And, so kind of all over the spectrum, Yeah, pretty much. Not really a straight line as far as career wise.
Sure, sure. A lot of different great experiences and just a multitude of both the college level, professional level in the United States and internationally as well. It's quite a tremendous story. One of the guys you mentioned was Arne Kander, of course, at one point in time, for a long time, the head strength coach for the Detroit Pistons. And you still maintain a great relationship with Arne. And of course, those that, you know, follow both Arne or the podcast know that Arne has created this 20-second challenge, the Step Up 20-second challenge. If you want to just talk about your relationship with Arne, the 20-second challenge, and just kind of the purpose of that and the importance of it.
Yeah, no, Arne's been, a godsend for me because he's seen something in me that, you know, I didn't really know I have. But, I mean, the first time we met, I think we're supposed to do, I think it was like a courtesy, like half hour for Joe Abunasar. And, you know, I ended up that day, I think I spent 4 or 5 hours were helping construct his, anybody that talks about his weight rooms are very, the most unique thing you've ever seen. And so he, you know, had me help him, you know, tape up some different things and work on the weight room. On the way out, he's, you know, said I had a great energy and hopefully we could work together someday. That's kind of what happened after the strike. And, you know, really maintain after the Pistons let me go, you know, it was a big kind of assistant coach purge. So he wanted to keep me, but it wasn't really his choice. He's been there for me as far as any kind of advice or kind of philosophies and all that kind of stuff. But he's been really great mentor to me and, you know, try to help me to other places too. So
I think the 20-second step challenge has really grown a lot. And from talking to both you and Arne, you guys have had this vision for it since the beginning. And I know you mentioned to me, you know, the rest of the team that has really taken this off along with you guys, Benoit, Evan, among those guys that have really helped you guys with it. And you guys post a lot about it on Instagram specifically. But when you look at the growth that it's had, how important has that been to you guys? I mean, does the impact it seems to be having on so many people mean a lot to you guys?
Well, yeah, that's, the evolution was kind of, crazy because Arne started getting on Instagram and, you know, just sharing different things. Obviously, he's a master of a lot of things. But we reconnected because I kind of reached out and I was studying, you know, a certain thing he actually talks about quite a bit in fascia, which he's been studying for 30 years. So I've gotten to a certain point. I was, you know, working with a lady, like a stroke victim. So I was, you know, asking him questions about how I could use different fascia stuff and started talking about that. And then he kind of went into, like, when the COVID thing happened, I kind of texted him and I was like, I was getting frustrated because I couldn't find out, like, really concrete information or, you know, that kind of stuff. So I just texted him. I'm like, you know, Arne, you kind of influenced a lot of people. And I'm not sure if that had anything to do with it, but he started posting about, you know, what to do, what to think about, the activities, the stretches. So basically just overall health, vitamins, all these different things that help the immune system. And I think he just ended up coming to a point where he sent me videos of what you guys are doing to stay strong. And it's such a broad term. I don't think it had the effect he wanted. So he went to the Step Up Challenge, which he's used for years and years for pre-draft. And so the Step Challenge kind of accomplishes everything else he was trying to do, but it's in one thing. But what it turned into was a huge community thing. So we've all been connected through Arne, Benoit, Evan. And so we just kind of came together. And, you know, let's you know, Arnie wanted me to post some old pictures and the team building stuff. And, so I started doing that and kind of built into the step challenge. And then we started working together. And yeah, I think we're over, I just talked to him yesterday. I think we're over 1,000. So it's turned into just some of this community. But overall, I mean, if you look at the absolute effect, it's immune system, getting people out, just getting moving, kind of everything that, you know, this virus could actually attack, it kind of gives you a better chance of doing it. But it's cool because, you know, it was a test for pro athlete.
Yeah, I think it's really, really neat just how much of an impact it has had. And I mean, you know, you see former Pistons doing it. You see all these different people do it, and it spreads to different families and different communities. I just think it's really, really cool. And, you know, Arnie obviously had such a legacy in Detroit just because of who he is and what he's done. And now that he's back with the Pistons after being away from the franchise for a little bit of time, you know, how great is it to see him back with the team, even just as a consultant? How great is it for him to be back with Detroit?
Well, the one thing with Arnie, and that goes to the, you know, the 22nd challenge too, is he's built up such a loyal, not like a friendship, because it's always about the player and the connection, you know, even the coaches. But, you know, everybody that's met Arnie's kind of a friend right away. So that, I think that's how he's pretty much served at the Pistons. So he's really good at kind of just connecting people, and, you know, getting guys to buy in, because they know he has their best interest. But as far as like, hands on, you know, he's helped a lot of players, and, you know, throughout the history, he's known as the injury prevention and 74 games, the same starting five. So just him walking in, you know, he has a presence, kind of a calm, like everything's going to be all right. And there's just what he kind of brings in, kind of basically in everything he does, like even the step challenge, you know, we have 87-year-olds, 3-year-olds. So it's just, I mean, kind of coming together as a big team and kind of doing something bigger than ourselves.
Larry, to maybe bring some focus back to you as well, obviously you spent a couple of seasons in Detroit. Maybe talk about some of the, if you had any players, maybe specific players you really enjoyed working with in Detroit, and maybe a couple favorite memories as well, a couple cool stories that maybe everybody wouldn't just hear on the average day.
Yeah. You know, when you first walk in, you kind of get a little shell shocked because I was out Impact in Vegas, where you see a lot of guys and maybe you run them through some workouts, but you don't really get to know the guys. And then when I got to Detroit, all of a sudden, you know, I found Wallace. You know, these guys that, you know, I've watched kind of throughout, I mean, my time, like Tayshaun Prince. And I've always been a pre-draft kind of projection, that kind of buff probably since I was young. So I'm like, wow, you think you know something about these guys, but then when you see them, it's a different thing. So, you know, it takes a little bit of while. I mean, my boss was Joe Dumars. You know, I had a poster of him when I was a kid. So a little bit different, you know. We're on the plane. I hear, you know, George Blaha's voice. And I'm like, gosh, I used to listen to him on the radio. So it kind of went from that to, okay, that's all great, but we have a job to do. Like Arnie always says, you can't really be entertained by a job. It's the job and the performance, because, you know, there's a scoreboard at the end of the day. So the whole year was great. I mean, gosh, every time I try to list the players, it's just kind of amazing. You know, you get to see LeBron up close. And then with Arnie, every single, like, ex-player might come in our, you know, in our locker room, just say hi, you know, like, so he has that kind of connection with people, and he's really giving. So he kind of built that relationship. So I was kind of privy to all those fringe benefits. But I would say probably experience-wise, just a lot of the team building stuff, real powerful stuff from like St. Jude. You know, the team walked in, were not, you know, at first we weren't real comfortable. And then we realized the kids were just, you know, they wanted to call their, they didn't know they were sick and play and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, kids were coming up, wanting me to sign like autographs. So, you know, I signed a couple with Kyle Singler's name. And, cause they, you know, the kids don't know. So at the end of the day, it just makes them happy. So, you know, Kyle got a kick out of that. And then, I mean, we went to Alcatraz, ended up playing like a baseball game, I think, maybe with a water bottle, something else. So just a lot of things off the court. Obviously, seeing people, guys grow. You know, Brandon Knight was a rookie for me. Andre Drummond. You know, guys would be in the war room, which is like a dream come true. So, yeah, it seemed like it's like like a nonstop kind of, you know, is this real life kind of thing.
Right. Well, so you talked about when you first got to Detroit and seeing some of these guys that, you know, you had watched throughout their career, Ben Wallace, Tayshaun Prince, and a lot of your experience was in that pre-draft phase, early career phase. So what was that transition like to working with guys that were, there was the group of the younger guys, the Brandon Knights, the Andre Drummonds, but then additionally working with those veterans, whether it's Tayshaun Prince or Ben Wallace, et cetera?
Well, that's a pretty interesting kind of conversation because a lot of young guys will come in. You know, Brandon will come in. You see how laser focused he is. And, you know, I think Coach Frank had to like throw the shoes off the bus one time in the summer just to keep him from working, just nonstop, just grind. And then when Andre Drummond fell to us, you know, we didn't think he was going to fall that far. You know, I think we're in Golden State, took Harrison Barnes, and all of a sudden we have this kid and he comes in and, you know, you see all these things they say about people. You realize they really don't know. They say he's like lethargic and doesn't work real hard and all that kind of stuff. But that's not what you see every day. You kind of see the approach and what guys buy in, because Arnie kind of lays it out for you. So, you know, you do these things that he built. You do the movement, you don't have to think about it because all the energy goes back to the court. So he really simplifies everything. So when you do get on the court, all that energy, you basically just prep it and stored it so you can kind of play, which is, you know, the idea. Just seeing the approach, right? Once we kicked in the season, Ben Wallace, you know, we'll call him, he had to spot him on the bench. He'd do real basic stuff, not going heavy, nothing, but same thing all the time. Tayshaun was, you know, right on time all the time, same prep, same everything. But these guys have been groomed, right? So just if the guys kind of took their lessons, it really kind of paid off.
And Larry, you know, one other thing I wanted to ask you about was you spent some years, you know, not working with the Pistons, but you've worked with one of the best players in the league today in Kristaps Porzingis. You know, he's had before the season was, you know, postponed as it currently is. Kristaps was having a phenomenal year in Dallas alongside Luka Doncic. And you worked back with him during his time with the New York Knicks and, you know, probably before that as well. You've told me about so much about Kristaps and his situation there. And just talk about, you know, what it's been like to work with as talented of a player as Kristaps is and, you know, what that experience has meant to you.
Actually, I mean, it's really kind of meant the world to me because, you know, professionally, a lot after I left, it was kind of, you know, Arnie's assistant pretty much everywhere, which I was real, real happy to carry that one. But, I had just gotten married and got a call to help develop this guy, that had pulled his name out of the draft. So I watched some film on him. Originally, I said no. You know, God kind of circled back around, and they called me again. And I said yes, and kind of moved to Spain the next week. And then when I got out there, we're kind of the first, you know, American head coach, first American strength coach. So a little bit different, but I'm always open to learning kind of about cultures. But then I meet Chris, and you could tell, like, development wise, he had it because his mentality was just, although very, I mean, funny as heck, impressions of everybody, every language. You could tell he was just going to work, but you never know how he's going to transition to the NBA. But his skill level is so high. His learning is so high. I never questioned coaches. No ego to him. And then, you know, he went to the Knicks. And it's just transition. But he was getting over it, and I think he was really hitting his stride. And so, you know, the ACL. And so and then he called me back. So I think it was like 3 years. Kind of help rehab. And gosh, we'd do 2-3 hours in the morning, mid-afternoon, and then do recovery and stuff at night. You know, this guy was really living the 24/7. You know, I had a dietitian. We had, anything, like no expense. My thing was, we're always trying to make him bulletproof. I always wanted to try to get him the last contract, you know, so he's going to get contracts forever, but you know, I want him to be like walk out where he's not beat up at the end of his career. So all that happened, a bunch of stuff in New York. This kid from Spain to New York, the amount of adversity and things that he kind of overcame. You know, every corner it seemed like there was some kind of hindrance that probably would have broke a lot of people, but he's got a great support system. And then Dallas ended up being absolutely great fit because he already had a relationship with Luka. And obviously the Dirk, you know, they kind of created this blueprint, you know, the last 20 years. So, he's really like Cuban. Cuban's really kind of got his back and, loyalty and everything. So, yeah, Chris was just like getting his rhythm, getting his timing down, starting to play. And then all this happened, but I think he's just going to keep expanding, keep growing. He's not as explosive as Kevin Garnett, but I think the mentality and the personality, he has that kind of effect on the team because he's kind of intolerant of kind of BS, right? So, but at the same time, he can make you laugh and. He's got the personality like that kind of brings guys together. So, yeah, I'm really pumped. I think he's still just scratching the surface, which is pretty crazy.
To bring things now to kind of the current day, and obviously so many great experiences through the variety of things we've talked about, talk a little bit about your role now being back at Madonna University. You mentioned you were there in 2006 to 2012. To now be back and the head preparation coach as well as the assistant coach with the men's basketball program. Talk a little bit about your role and maybe the effect that it's had on the program given, well, the recent success that the program's had over the last several years.
The head coach, Noel Hemenizer, kind of gave me my first chance kind of as an assistant coach. And one of our ties, Coach Holowicki, you know, legendary coaches for the program and, used to run five-star camps, with coaches Chuck Daly and Coach Kate. Like, so he kind of came from that lineage. And I actually worked a lot of his camps. So it was kind of strange because, you know, we're different personalities, but we kind of have same goal in mind, kind of same vision. More or less, the success of the program hasn't taken care of themselves because the coaching staff, you know, really kind of bust their tails trying to find talent. Obviously, we had a ton of talent this year, last year, but that kind of has taken care of itself. So my job is just to kind of keep guys available. I don't remember guys missing any games this year. And that's an effect that I didn't realize until, you know, Noel was actually one of my references when I went to the Pistons. And, you know, our starting five averages like 30, 32 like minutes a game. So that seems to be the trend, the effect I have on teams. But, yeah, it's just been great because, you know, Madonna just has a ton of great people. And they kind of let me do what I need to do to take care of the guys. So I know the athletic training room's been great. So yeah, it's just kind of a family feel and kind of a team, kind of team atmosphere. And they allow me to do whatever I need to do outside also, because I still have kind of outside obligations as far as teams and other activities.
Well, very good. Aaron, anything else that you would want to ask or follow up with here?
Well, Larry, I think, you know, we've heard a lot about what you have done and, you know, what's on the horizon for you? What do you want to be doing? You know, whether it's, you know, what you're currently doing or hopefully when this pandemic is over, do you have any aspirations that you're hoping to accomplish?
Yeah. As far as the NBA, I pretty much have kind of a relationship now where, you know, a couple of teams, I'd be coming in as kind of a specialist. We, you know, spend a few days and kind of work with kind of movement stuff, prevention kind of stuff. And then also the kind of draft prep for, you know, a couple of teams, just watch your film and kind of, you know, my advice, I don't know if they, how much they take it or not, but just working that into kind of projections for draft prospects. So kind of what I did, you know, with KP, and we had two other draft picks from that team in Spain, which is kind of a first. But, you know, that's kind of opened the door for me quite a bit. So I do have that. That's pretty minimum. My biggest thing is just starting a lot of youth, kind of athletic development, which we have like different ages. So through the elementary schools. And so the biggest thing is just preventing injuries. I kind of was sick of, you know, seeing a person with an ACL, you know, treating them, and then they have another ACL like 8 months later. And I just couldn't figure it out. And it just, it's going back to like, you know, very minimal phys ed, kind of unqualified coaches, too much playing, not as much, well, actually too much kind of competitive playing and not enough just play as far as changing directions, tag and all that kind of stuff. So kind of put together a youth program that we're trying to do with some school. And that's a big one. It was really starting to get going, but you know, obviously with the situation right now, it's kind of on hold.
Well, very good. Larry, we appreciate you taking the time here today just to kind of tell us your story about your experiences and just taking this time. Hopefully you and your family are all staying well and staying safe, and hopefully everybody is staying strong as we're through this right. pandemic. Of course, all of our listeners can feel free to participate in the 22nd Step Up Challenge. And I'm sure that Larry would love to see those. Artie Kander would love to see those. And us here at the Palace of Pistons would love to see those as well. But Larry, thank you again for taking the time and joining us here today. And as always, appreciate your insight and conversation.
Oh, no, thanks for having me, guys. And you guys, obviously, stay strong. Best of luck to your family.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Larry. And that's going to do it for us on this week's edition of the Palace of Pistons podcast. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.